I just wanted to say, before I begin speaking, I'd like to welcome my old friend Bhushara Prabhu, who has come to Boston. And we've known each other for 44 years. 44, yeah? 44 years. I don't think it's 45 because I didn't move into the temple to 73 and you moved in after me, so. So, 44. But we joined a different temple when we were on North Beacon Street in Alston. And we moved out of that building in 1974 to this building and been here since then. And I was going to welcome another old friend, Damodar Prabhu, but I don't see him. Okay. He and I worked together in Manhattan, 1978. And when we had our temple in West 55th Street, Damodar was my assistant. And, of course, as long as I'm speaking, Muktavanya Prabhu also joined in 1974, was that right? But you were coming even before I started coming. But you moved into the temple in 1974. I started coming around the end of 1972. So you were already coming, weren't you? Yeah. Huh? Kohari was the president. That must have been 71. Beginning of 71. I don't have any particular topic that I was going to speak on tonight. In fact, who was here last Saturday? When a lot of you were here. As Vanamali Pandit Prabhu has said in his introduction that I've been speaking on different topics. Morning classes, Srimad Bhagavatam classes has been on the story of Vajamil. And some very wonderful, insightful verses about the glories of the Holy Name. And last couple of classes we've been speaking about the Yama Dutas and the Vishnu Dutas. And although we've tried to avoid making it too gruesome and looking at their particular services from a very philosophical point of view and how they interacted with each other in a very Vaishnava-like way. And they were very Shastric, very respectful towards each other. And the Yamadutas, without too much resistance, accepted defeat. And when haven't gotten to that point yet, but subsequently we'll be seeing how they approach Yamaraj for very clear and concise instructions about a higher principle which is served by those, served to those who chant the holy name of the Lord without offense, and how the Supreme Lord actually clears all persons who chanted without offense from all sinful reactions, which was the facility which was given to Ajamil despite his sinful life, which truly establishes the glories of the name. But even beyond being freed from sinful reactions, another important and most important is that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can develop a love for Krishna. And we've been emphasizing that point in the last couple of classes, that giving the analogy that if one chants with platform of Namabhas, one can be relieved from reactions to sinful life. But if one actually wants to enter into the spiritual world, he has to chant the holy name of the Lord in a proper service attitude. And we gave the analogy that chanting Namabhas is like becoming qualified for a passport, but even though you have a passport, you still have to get a visa. And to enter into the spiritual world is a little bit more responsibility that needs to be taken for those who chant the holy name of the Lord, although the holy name itself can bring, or himself, can bring one to that platform. And that facility was given to Ajamil, that he was saved from having to suffer the reactions of his sinful life by his chanting of Namabhas, and then being influenced by the dialogue between the Vishnu Dutas and the Amadutas, and feeling purified and repentant, both important ingredients. He decided to dedicate his second chance to fully immerse his consciousness in remembrance of the Lord, and therefore qualified himself for, he got his visa to Vaikuntha. So these are the topics we've been talking about. But last week, that's in the morning, but last week we spoke about, what was it? The Dati Patagrinati Guyamakyati Prishti, I think it was. We spoke on that verse about Vaishnava relationships, friendly relationships. And we spoke about relationships based upon affection. And we gave the characteristics of loving relationships, which, although appear to be ideal for those who look within their own hearts and find that themselves to be incapable of serving without expecting anything in return. And nonetheless, in loving relationships, such relationships is defined by Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita, are meant to be maintained on that platform of love. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur highlights this topic in his essays on these verses of the Upadeshamrita in his Sri Bhakti Loka, and says that actually this affectionate dealings between one devotee or another is what distinguishes association from good association from bad association. And he says that essentially association exists when we exchange, loving exchanges, offering gifts, accepting gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, and to offer prasadam and accept prasadam. When these exchanges are done with affection, then the result is association. And he specifically speaks about this point in also saying what distinguishes association with devotees and association with non-devotees. And he actually gives a lot of detailed analysis of what is a non-devotee and why one should be careful in associating with non-devotees. But he also defines the limit of association by this verse, the dati pratigrinati guyamakyati prichchati. He says the limit is defined that in the physical proximity of non-devotees, one still has to associate in the sense that one has to be in close physical proximity, one has to interact in various ways. But he explains that a Vaishnava is somebody who has affectionate dealings with devotees, and in his exchanges with others, such as giving food or accepting food, or such as, well, he warns about revealing one's mind. He says one should not reveal one's mind in confidence to non-devotees because they're not capable of actually they're not capable of giving the kind of reciprocal responses to whatever innermost thoughts we may have about our doubts in Krishna consciousness. they cannot help us. So he warns about revealing one's mind in confidence or inquiring confidentially. Both these are reserved for Vaishnava relationships. But he says that affection is reserved for devotees. And of course, the beauty, by understanding this principle, he says, is that one can live respectfully in physical proximity and interact with non-devotees and not be influenced by their association, because association, he says, only takes place when there's affectionate dealings or loving exchanges. Otherwise, he says, when they're performed out of duty, then one doesn't become contaminated by such physical proximity or by such interactions. And not only that, but the kind of loving exchanges he experiences with devotees, or should be experiencing with devotees if he learns how to associate with love, it's so much more attractive that he's not at all attracted to loving or affectionate dealings with non-devotees, but he simply maintains the contact with them out of duty. And although there may be exchange, giving food or accepting food, or giving gift, accepting gift, it's done out of duty. He says that these are kind of subtle details and can be understood properly when discussed in the association of devotees. But the point, important point that he highlights is that without affectionate dealings with devotees, it's very, very hard to make progress in spiritual life. We oftentimes give the example that Lord Chaitanya didn't come himself to spread the glories of the holy name of the Lord, but he came with his associates. And although in the early days of the Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya, he was doing just that. He was gathering every night, having his nocturnal kirtans with his close, intimate associates. And they were relishing each other's association in chanting the holy name of the Lord. And many affectionate exchanges and loving exchanges were prominent in their kirtans. And even to the point where Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that if it was any attempt for a non-devotee to enter the kirtan at that time, they were not allowed. Non-devotees were prohibited from taking part. Lord Chaitanya was only interested in relishing association with his confidential associates, or those who are selfless, those who are attracted to chanting. But it's interesting to note that although these nocturnal kirtans went on continuously for 1 year, then when Lord Chaitanya was ready to bring the Sankirtan movement to the streets, he didn't go alone, but he went with his associates. And actually, the kind of loving exchanges displayed by Lord Chaitanya between himself and his associates is what was meant to attract people to the Sankirtan movement. Is that what's attractive is when there's people actually begin to see what a real loving exchanges are. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya, his Sankirtan movement wasn't simply himself going into the streets, but he was going in the association of his intimate devotees and manifesting these kind of loving exchanges for others to witness. And by witnessing them, it became so attractive that they wanted to take part in Sankirtan. So, therefore, loving exchanges between devotees centered around the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is really what attracts people are looking, and I think I spoke about that. I spoke about that a few weeks ago in Hartford, where some devotees were attending, and we were explaining the principle that people are looking for meaningful relationships. They're looking for substance in relationships. Many of their relationships are very shallow. Many people, in fact, in the course of my travels when I meet people, and I also not only meeting people but speaking from professionals who go to people who go to the professionals. Many of the professionals tell me that one symptom of dissatisfaction most people have is many people are feeling lonely. Lonely. Imagine. And lonely means they're hankering for loving relationships. And why? They're feeling lonely because they're fearful that I've had bad experiences in relationships, and therefore they're very careful in the relationships. They're careful to not become victimized by in relationships again, to not give themselves and run the risk of giving themselves and then being taken advantage of, exploited. And loneliness and depression, and these are very prevalent symptoms of that. That there's a lack of personal exchange and loving exchanges, and therefore, oftentimes when I broach this topic with devotees, because it was one of the topics that Vanamali Pandit asked me to speak about, he specifically asked me to speak about, as I began speaking about last week, was about relationships, cooperation, and devotee care. I think those were three topics that we kind of brought together, synthesized into our talk last week. And I'm just simply introducing and summarizing tonight for a reason, because I don't intend to go into a long, detailed presentation about all of these three topics. I wanted to simply introduce the topic and try to refresh those who participated in last week's presentation about devotee relationships, to see if devotees had questions specifically on these topics. And as we spoke about last week also, we said that there is great potential that can be tapped when devotees actually begin to see each other as devotees and relate to each other as devotees and participate in those activities which are clearly meant to inspire them, enthuse them, enlighten them, and to enhance each other's, enhance relationships with each other, which is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, hearing and chanting about Krishna together, which is sometimes eclipsed by many other quote-unquote services, responsibilities, things that we feel pressured to doing in order to keep our connection. But although we feel pressured to do many services, if we neglect this most fundamental principle of Sangha, which is chanting and hearing together, we begin to look at each other from a different perspective. And if we're not careful, as I mentioned last week, we may inadvertently, due to familiarity, begin to categorize people according to their faults. And when we have a whole list of people who have categorized according to their faults, that's a good foundation for feeling lonely, because then you think there's nobody worth associating with. And then it really snowballs. It really snowballs, and people then become desperate. And then out of desperation, what they start to do in a desperate state of mind is they start to think that I have to correct the situation. And I have to correct the situation means I have to correct everybody else. And then we fail to make the internal correction required, which is the responsibility of sadhakas, because actually sadhakas, their first business is to work on themselves before they work on others. And therefore, sometimes we get caught up on, because, well, this is a preaching movement, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to preach. He emphasized the importance of being ghosti anandis, to go out and to preach and give Krishna consciousness to others. And preaching means, you know, telling others about Krishna, which was actual preaching. Yari deka tarikara Krishna upadesh amara gaya guru haritari desh. Lord Chaitanya told Korma the Brahmin that if you simply tell others about Krishna, Korma the Brahmin, he wanted to renounce his family duties. He wanted to renounce all his worldly obligations. He wanted to simply travel with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, you can't come with me. He said, he gave him this order, Yari Dekitari Kara Krishna Uvadesh, and told him that if you simply travel and tell everyone you meet about Krishna, he said, you'll find no obstacles whatsoever in your household or life. And this is what preaching is meant to be. But if we're not careful, sometimes in the association of devotees, we may think that preaching means correcting others. Preaching means pointing out the faults of others, and preaching means, you know, changing the world around us to accommodate my shortcomings. And unfortunately, that doesn't lead to very healthy relationships. Therefore, sadhaka's first business is to work on themselves. And when they actually understand that principle and devote themselves to doing some internal work, chanting, clearing away the anarthas, which are very clearly defined and described as kutinata, which is fault-finding or duplicity, or pratishta, the desire for respect, or puja, desire for worship, jiva-hingsa, which means envy of other living beings. These are anarthas, subtle anarthas within the heart that need to be cleaned if we want to actually have loving relationships with devotees. And therefore, oftentimes if we're not careful, then we don't work on our own anarthas and take to the process of cleaning properly, those anarthas will influence our ability to have enhanced relationships with others. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gopi Vallabha. And also another way for cleaning all the dust accumulated for years together within the heart is Chaito Darpana Majanam Bhava Mahadavagni Navarpanam. Lord Chaitanya has given and spoken about the glories of the Sankirtan movement, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together, thus the fire of conditional life, of repeated birth and deaths, is extinguished. So Sankirtan, together, as Lord Chaitanya himself taught with his associates, by coming together and having Sankirtan, chanting. In fact, these were some of the thoughts that were in my mind tonight before beginning to speak, and therefore I chose to have a little kirtan first, and in case you're wondering why I was chanting. But these were some of the thoughts that I wanted to highlight and to reintroduce from last week. And I've already spoken for a half hour, and it's already 8:30, time for aarti. But I really wanted to leave time if devotees had questions, because it's my last class on this topic. Tomorrow I'll give a Sunday feast talk, which I generally try to direct more to our guests who are coming for the first time. And on Monday early morning I'm leaving. So if anybody would like to ask any questions on this topic, or last Saturday night's topic, I'd be happy to try to answer them. And, yes?
I'd like to say something. I find, we come to spiritual life, and we hear, we have this idea of being detached and not being attached to people. And then we come to devotional service, and we find this is the exact opposite. We have to become attached to devotees. So, can you explain the contradiction?
His question was... Thank you, Ganga Bhattapur. It's always good to have friends around to remind me. His question was, is that we come to Krishna consciousness and we develop a spirit of detachment, but actually in the physical proximity of devotees, if we're not careful, we should avoid becoming detached from association of devotees, and we actually have to become attached to association of devotees, because association with devotees is the actual means for becoming detached. So he asked me if I could explain that.
Yes?
Yes. Make sure I got it right. I'm repeating the question for the benefit of those who couldn't hear it because it wasn't amplified. Well, there's so many verses we oftentimes quote. What is it? Every learned person knows that attachment to material things is the cause of bondage for the living entity. But when the same attachment is applied to self-realized devotees and moksha dvarma pavrita, the gate to liberation becomes opened. And we oftentimes quote a verse by Lord Kapila. That was by Kapila Dev, another verse by Lord Kapila Dev. We oftentimes quote Marashrita. Katamrishtash and Vanti Katayanti Chata Panti Vividastapa Naitamogachatetasa Taite Sarava Savisava Sangha Varjita Sangashte Shatase Partha Sangha Dosha Haraite. He describes that that devotees of the Lord, sadhus, do not suffer from material miseries because they're always filled with thoughts of my activities and pastimes in this world. Therefore, Lord Kapila Dev instructed Devahuti Taete Sarava Savi Sadvi, you should seek out the association of devotees who like to talk about Krishna and become attached to that association. Because if you become attached to the association of devotees who are speaking about Krishna, then the result is that all the pernicious effects of our material attachments will become destroyed. So these are two verses. And for themselves, satam prasangam amaviri samvado bhavanti hritkana rasayana kata taj joshana ashra pavargavatmani shadharatya bhakti ranukramishyati. Then in the association of devotees, discussions of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord become very attractive to the ear. They enter into the heart. When they enter into the heart, then what happens? That gradually, by allowing them to enter in our heart, our attraction becomes fixed. We become detached properly from material things. Detachment is awakened, but not detachment from association. Why should one become attached to those very persons who've actually given us the inspiration to become attached to them and to attach to association of devotees? It's contradictory that we become attached to those who awaken our attachment to Krishna, and to the degree that our attachment to Krishna is awakened in their association, then bhakti paresha anubhava varakti anyaisha chaisa chika ekakala, that our devotion will increase, our experience of Krishna will increase, and our detachment from material things will increase to the degree that we're engaged in this kind of sangha. So, as we oftentimes say, that devotees, if they're not careful, they have a tendency to say that sangha doesn't exist. But actually, the onus is on every devotee, on every devotee who knows what should be the basis of sangha, to preserve their relationships on a solid spiritual platform. And therefore, we said, and we quoted many references in this connection, especially Srila Bhaktisiddhanta speaks about it very elaborately, graphically, and in great detail, that association is not just physical proximity. And therefore, we should become attached to the association of devotees, because devotees are the best people to engage in maschitta magana prata, Odiyaktak Parasparam, to hear and chant about Krishna and to increase one's attachment to Krishna. And if we're not careful, If we don't actually have that kind of sangha, then we'll begin to look at worldly sangha as something that appears to be more attractive because we've not been able to appreciate the good qualities in devotees, and therefore we'll think that the worldly people, although they may appear to have some good qualities that may be according to their worldly standards, but not necessarily according to devotional standards. And we have to be careful that to that degree that we become attracted to worldly qualities, to that degree our faith in Shuddha Bhakti goes down. Bhakti Vinod Thakur warns that. And that to the degree that our faith in Shuddha Bhakti goes down, then it's very difficult. One loses his taste for chanting. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in Madhurya Kundambani, which I was also asked to speak a little bit about, he describes in Madhurya Kundambani that that a devotee may appear to lose the mercy of the holy name of the Lord. He may lose his taste, and if he loses his taste for chanting in the association of devotees, he's lost his attachment to chanting. In that state, he may be very difficult for him to chant and hear in the association of devotees. And he gives the analogy that it's just like a person who has a very high fever. When a person has a very high fever, he can't eat. That's the symptom of a high fever. You can't eat. You don't want to eat, you can't eat. And it's not a very joyful state to stay in for an extended period of time. To most people, when they have high fevers, I can testify, I was once brought to Bhaktivedanta Hospital with extremely high fever. They were worried. They were thinking something. Actually, I was brought to Bridge Candy Hospital before Bhaktivedanta Hospital because it was an emergency. And I was delirious. First thing is how to get the fever down. How to get the fever down. So, it's not a very joyful, it's not a fun time to be. So, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that there's so much suffering in a high fever, one can't eat. He said, but when the fever starts to come down, it's not that one can immediately eat opulent food. When the fever comes down, after you've suffered from the fever, you have to take a sick man's diet and proper medicine. So in the same way, the devotee, he can't immediately just immerse himself in total Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam because he's still sick, he's still diseased, the fever, symptoms of the fever are still there, but it's come down. But he needs to get strong. So he has to take a sick man's diet, which is he has to take some doses of medicine, but he has to take it according to the right doses so it gives nourishment and strength. So gradually he becomes nourished and stronger again that he can go back to his previous state and eat anything he wants, or in this particular case, he can chant Hare Krishna and hear Krishna Katha in the association of devotees. So therefore, sometimes it may be that due to inattentiveness, due to offenses, one may learn the mercy of the holy name of the Lord, and it may be very difficult. And one has to be very careful at this particular junction to not become totally detached from devotees. But he should seek out the association of devotees and seek out that food which can actually give nourishment and strength. And therefore, definitely Vaishnavas, merciful Vaishnavas, devotees are very kind and compassionate and very forgiving. They're not very judgmental, and they're very eager to help a person who's become diseased get strong again by giving them the right medicine. And we should become attached to that kind of association. And if we don't, if we're not careful, as we said, the consequences are, if we detach ourselves from Vaishnavas completely, we're social beings. And if we don't have attachment to devotees, we're going to have to become attached to somebody. And it will display. Or just some Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes his two types of attachments. His attachment to worldly people and his attachment to worldly objects. He also says his types. He actually describes as another type of attachment. He describes as his attachment to worldly thoughts. So, if we don't have attachment to the devotees who will increase our attachment to Krishna, attached we must become, because that's life. Life, that's life.
What about when somebody, their nature is, they don't like to mix. They don't have the skills to...
We're not talking about mixing. We're talking about dadati pratigrinati guyam agyati prishtiti. We're not talking about mixing. Mixing may be something they may not be ready for yet. But to reveal their mind in confidence to another Vaishnava who's compassionate and kind is essential. It's essential. That's not mixing. That's just sanity. That's just everybody needs to have somebody that can reveal their mind. Mixing will come if they reveal their minds to somebody and gradually become strengthened by that kind of sangha. And as they gradually become strong, then mixing becomes more natural, because it becomes more natural because they become less influenced by their kutinata, fault finding or duplicitous mentality. They become less influenced by these things. To the degree we become attached to Krishna consciousness, to that degree these anartas will become clean. So attachment means to become attached to the process. To have, I oftentimes, last time I was here, I was quoting one verse that I was very attached to. Verse, quoting it everywhere I was going, because I felt this verse really, really, if anybody analyzed it properly, it's a real, it really gives hope. Gives hope to anybody who just has faith in bhakti. And it was a verse from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam that I discovered once and memorized, although I can't remember the Sanskrit, that devotional service rendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so transcendentally potent. Excuse me. It's pure devotional service. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopi Vallabha. Hare Krishna. Is it closing or is it? I ask because sometimes temples do that. They keep you in suspense and then all of a sudden you get your last darshan. You know, surprise. And that's it. Jai Radha Gopi Vallabha. Like Bunky Bihari, you know, like. let me finish quoting that verse, because I don't want to, if that's okay. Yeah, okay. Pure devotional service rendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so transcendentally potent that simply by hearing about it, simply by glorifying it in response, simply by meditating on it, simply by faithfully and respectfully accepting it, and simply by praising the service rendered by others, then even a person who hates the demigods and all living entities in the universe, I mean, imagine how envious that person must be. Even the person who hates the demigods and all living entities in the universe can immediately become purified. What is this verse, how I understand it, stating? And actually, It was Narada Muni's response to Vasudeva. They were discussing about devotional service, and he was actually quoting another conversation. But Vasudeva was asking Narada Muni to please instruct him about the process of pure devotional service, because whereby he can become free from all fear of this world, of this material world. And he quotes this verse, that pure devotional service rendered to the Supreme Lord is so transcendentally potent that if you just hear about it, and then if you hear about it, then just repeat it. Just tell others about it. If you just meditate on it, if you just faithfully and respectfully accepts that even though I don't have pure devotional service, even though I'm not a pure devotee, but I have faith that it exists. I have faith. And because it exists, I want to hear about it. Because if I hear about it and have faith enough to go on hearing about it instead of getting absorbed in, you know, other topics which have no connection with Shuddha Bhakti, sometimes we become too absorbed in topics which have no connection with Shuddha Bhakti. Then if we don't develop our faith in Shuddha Bhakti, then our faith can gradually be compromised, and we develop faith in other processes besides pure bhakti, because we're thinking, I don't have it, I don't see it, I'm what's it got to do with me? Why should I hear about it? It sounds like a story to me. It sounds like fairy tales. We'll find so many different excuses to justify listening to something else besides pure devotional service. But the verse says, if you just faithfully, respectfully that it exists, although I may not have it, and if I see somebody has some devotion, then why not praise it, speak about it, mention it. Wow, just see, he did that, and he didn't expect anything, and he was simply trying to please, and wow, that's something I'd really like to have someday. Just by doing that, hearing, repeating it, meditating, accepting that it exists and praising it whenever you see it, you become purified. That means you become eligible to get it. You become eligible. And it doesn't become inaccessible, you know, destiny. It becomes something very tangible and real. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Itumamutumam Pratyakshavagavam Damyam Shushukam Akartam Avyam. The king of knowledge, the perfection of religion, because it gives the direct perception of the self by realizations, everlasting and joyfully performed. It happens, but it requires faith. That faith, it does exist. It does exist. I want to hear about it. Well, at least I can hear about those personalities who have it. And Shukadeva Goswami definitely spends a lot of time speaking about them. So do many other great sages in Srimad Bhagavatam spend substantial time speaking about them. And not only that, but when they speak about it, they make the topics even relishable. And therefore, we should seek out the association of devotees who make these topics relishable, understandable, digestible, so they're real. And just simply awakening the desire to hear, to repeat, and to meditate on, this is what Vaishnava Sangha is all about, and this is what we're supposed to become attached to. I can't remember which question I'm answering. But I might have answered it. Was it yours?
Yeah, I think you answered
all my questions. Okay. I know that, Nityananda, you had a question. Is it? Forgive me, I'm going to ask if it's quick, not because I don't want to hear your question, but I have a schedule that I'd like to follow. Is it?
No, probably not.
Not? It's a quick one.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Yeah, it's up to me. I know I could be long winded, huh?
So we have this eternal relationship with Prabhupada and our spiritual master because they have Jiva, they have opened our eyes. We have been introduced to Krishna, the spiritual world. So our God brothers and sisters, our devotees, therefore, because they also have an eternal relationship with Prabhupada and our spiritual master, our relationship with them is also eternal. Our God brothers and sisters, these are our eternal friends. These are our eternal associates. So it's not only that we have to become attached to them, but that these are our eternal friends and confidants.
Is that a question or a statement?
Well, I'm asking you, is it true?
Well, Prabhupada did say there's ISKCON in the spiritual world. He did say that. But how we are eternal friends and associates of the spiritual world, I wouldn't venture into that speculation that, you know, that we have an eternal friendship or association with everyone simply because we've come in contact with them in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, everyone that is in our physical proximity at that time. I would venture into a more of a understanding of that by saying the relationships which are deep on a spiritual platform, we can look at as eternal because the relationship is based on eternal exchanges. And therefore, because they're based on eternal exchanges, those eternal exchanges are freed from the inebrieties of, you know, the kind of fault-finding or other anarthas we spoke about. But I would say that, yes, we can have real meaningful eternal relationships, and we should aspire for that with everyone who I am intimately associating with in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But I can also personally say and testify myself that there are particular devotees in this movement. I mean, I'm selective. Forgive me. There's some are just, you know, that I don't want to ever leave their association. I just don't want to ever leave their association. And I pray to Krishna to always keep me in their association. So, and I don't feel that way towards everybody. I'd like to, but I don't. So, and those are the devotees that, you know, there's really the dati pratigrinati guya makyati prichati, and I feel that there's real association which is freed from those inebrieties that have, you know, that bind us into a worldly perception of each other. You know. Does that answer your question? Okay. Okay. Then thank you. And Hare Krishna.